Amy and Joe, hi. I need to let both of you know that I need to leave the meeting at 2:30 today, in case we haven't gotten to a vote by that point. You'll know that I won't be here. I hope that doesn't end up affecting quorum.
I haven't received many excused absences, so I
Okay.
expect a lot of people to be here.
Because I think, I don't think Grace is also invited to the same meeting, and I think she probably will also.
Okay. Well, hopefully we will get to unfinished business before 2:30. Did you get my email from just a little bit earlier, Amy? Okay, thank you.
Come. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I got your email.
That's good to
Of
know too.
course, I added it to my list.
Thank you. Yeah, I checked all the election ballots that did the final check this morning with Opinio, did my little test ballot for grade 12. So looks good. It's all ready to go.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sierra.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to stay off camera for a moment. I'm eating my lunch, so.
Okay.
No problem, Marvin. Nice to have you here. So I'm not sure if Adam is joining us today or not.
Okay, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, I haven't heard one way or the other.
Oh, okay.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Amy. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Carla.
Oh, my speaker's not working right. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me change it. Your microphone. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear you too. Okay,
oh, good.
I changed it to my laptop. I forgot to put this meeting on my calendar, and another meeting came in that I have to go to for HSC. But it should be done before this meeting's over. But I'm going to miss probably some, hopefully I don't miss everything.
Okay, what time is your other meeting right now?
Yeah, it's now and it's supposed to end at 2.
Okay. I'm going to just mark you excused then.
Okay. Okay. If you see me pop up, I'll be. Okay.
Good. Thank you, Carla. Hi, everyone. Nice to see so many faces today. Rudy, Adam, Mary, Ski, Jennifer. Joe, quorum today will be 21.
How many do we have now? 18
so far.
It's 1:02. Do you want to go ahead and start roll call?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, everyone. I want to first say thank you to Adam. Hello, our parliamentarian. Thank you, Adam, for being here.
You're welcome.
And our Gallup Staff Council President, Frank Sanchez, is also with us today. Thanks for joining us, Frank.
Happy to be here.
Cool. Everyone else, thank you as well for joining us. Counselors, just speak up when I call your name, please, for roll call. Begay.
Here.
Blanco Silva. Chavez. Cushing.
Here.
Desai.
Here.
Faustino.
Present.
Fisher.
Present. Sorry, I had to get my mute.
Quite all right. Thanks, Mark. Flores? Forsyth?
Present.
Gallegos?
Present.
Gouch?
Present.
Heinemeier? Henley?
Here.
Jones? Lane?
Here.
Lionbarger?
Here.
Lopez? Luna? McCabe Kelly?
Present.
McQuarrie? Montoya?
Present.
Murillo?
Here.
Ortiz?
Here.
Phibbs?
Here.
Rios?
Present.
Thank you, Javier. Roberts? Robinson?
Here, finally.
Nice to have you here, Tony.
The link is not working for me. Somebody else had to send it over. I don't know what's up with that.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. Rucker? Sandoval? Serna?
Here.
Shasky?
Here.
Sloan?
Here.
Smith? Stanton?
Here.
Stoddard?
Present.
Terrell?
Here.
Thomas? Trujillo?
Present.
Trujillo McClure?
Present.
Wood?
Present.
Zier? Okay, and I know there's a couple of counselors that came in while I was calling roll. Jones?
Yes, hi, present. I was loading Zoom on a computer that I realized did not have it on it, so... But I made it in. I just barely missed.
But all right. Thanks. Thanks, Brian. Okay. Who else is here that missed roll call? Frankie?
Hi. Yes, I was late, but I am here now.
No problem at all. Nice to see you as well, Frankie. Thank you. Okay. Any other counselors that I missed during roll call that are here now?
I'm here. Jennifer is here.
Oh, great. Thank you, Jennifer. Nice to hear your voice. Okay, Speaker Lane, quorum has been established.
Okay, thank you. Are there any changes to the agenda? I hope you guys all saw the agenda already. I don't see any changes. Without objection, we'll accept the agenda. Land acknowledgement. I have Ski doing that. Are you, you need me to post it?
No, I've got it here, Joe.
Okay.
How's my mic working?
Pretty good. We hear you.
Great. Founded in 1889, the University of New Mexico sits on the traditional homelands of the Pueblo of Sandia. The original peoples of New Mexico, Pueblo, Navajo, and Apache, since time immemorial, have deep connections to the land and have made significant contributions to the broader community statewide. We honor the land itself and those who remain stewards of this land throughout the generations, and also acknowledge our committed relationship to Indigenous peoples. We gratefully recognize our history.
Thank you, Ski. Does everyone approve the minutes? Have you had a chance to look at the minutes? Are there any changes you need to make? So without objection, we'll approve the minutes. Are there any constituent comments? Anybody like to make a comment? Who was a constituent? On to the reports, the president's report. Amy.
Thanks, Speaker Lane. There's a lot going on right now. I'm not going to get into all of it with you because some of it will be covered in committee reports, but I'll give you some teasers for some committee reports. So first of all, the legislative session ended Sunday at noon. So now we're just waiting on the governor to sign or not sign everything that was passed by the legislators. And I imagine one of the Marys will talk more about that with government relations. We've got three policy revisions, a couple of them to kind of big policies that are in constituent review, which means that in another couple of weeks, you can expect to see them for campus review. And those include policy 3700, 4000, and 6140. I know that the policy review committee is working on those now, and they'll have some information for you when it goes to campus review for how to communicate with your constituents. And I hope that you'll all ask your constituents to review those policies and comment as appropriate. That's a really important part of that whole policy revision process. Budget planning right now is really at its height. The budget leadership team will be presenting recommendations to President Stokes after our meeting this week. The budget as it currently exists is of course only a proposal. We don't have any money yet because we've got to wait for everything to be signed before we know exactly what's coming to us from the state. It does depend on a tuition increase, and tuition increases need to be approved by the regents. So until that happens, we won't know for sure what the budget landscape is. But there are a couple of things to just start thinking about because we'll want to, once everything's official, be communicating with our constituents about. The first is the salary increase. It is likely to be either 5 or 6%, depending on what gets signed. Right now, there is no decision made about whether that's going to be a flat increase to all staff or whether that could be presented as a range that folks in divisions or departments can choose from, right? So you know how sometimes we'll have a year where it's raises are between 4 and 6% and everybody can get a different amount. Other years, we just have a flat amount. Everyone say gets 5%. I'll tell you that I've been advocating for everybody to get 5% because we do have some methods for increasing salaries for merit and retention as well as the new equity review that's possible through the SPET tool that's going to get rolled out to campus. So I think that I'd like to see everybody get at least a 5%. And if an area wants to give a little bit more and has the money to do that, they can use one of those other methods rather than having some of our folks who I know are really struggling with inflation, you know, get 3 or 4. But again, none of this is decided. This is still all very much up in the air. The other thing that is going to be presented are the health insurance changes. So what the budget leadership team voted to present to the president is the acceptance of a slightly higher premium increase that comes with the reduction for all tiers in the copay for behavioral health services down to $10, whether you're in network or out of network. So, you know, whether you're seeing a UNM provider or a non-UNM provider, that would reduce that copay down to $10. The difference between those two increases, had we not done that, the premium increase would have been 9.2%. By doing that, the increase is 9.8%. It's really a very negligible, 9.8% is a huge amount, right? Or I'm sorry, 9.6%. 9.6% is a huge amount, but it is not noticeably more in your monthly premiums than 9.2% would have been. So definitely the university needs to get a handle on how to better anticipate and manage inflation as it relates to healthcare costs, since we're self-insured, so that we don't see these large premium increases. But unfortunately, there was no way around it for this. So that is going to be happening. We've got two new regents and a new regent president. So our former president, Regent Doug Brown, is no longer on the Board of Regents. Sandra Begay, Regent Begay, is also off of the Board of Regents. We have two new regents and a new regent president and a new regent vice president. We've got the chief human resources officer listening session coming up later this week. I hope most of you will be able to join that session. I did attend a session that was part of a different constituent group last week, and I found it to be a really positive process. So begin thinking about, you know, the kinds of questions you would want to ask, the kinds of suggestions you might have for what we really need to see in a new CHRO so that they can take your feedback and use it when they're, you know, writing that position up and starting to recruit people. And finally, I just want to remind you all that grade elections begin on Monday. This is a thing that happens every year. We remind ourselves every year. We always forget. It's kind of like you start talking and you realize you're on mute, even though you've done it 80,000 times and you promise you'll never do it again. So this is a thing none of us are going to do on Monday, right? None of us are going to forward our ballot to our constituents. Obviously, probably 5 of us will, because we always do. But just remember, you're going to get a ballot Monday. So will everyone else. Please encourage your constituents to vote. Please do not forward your ballot because it is coded to you. They will think the election is broken and poor Amy will get tons and tons of calls and emails. So that's the last thing I have, but I'll stand for questions if anyone has them.
Does anybody have any questions for Amy? Well, she's... Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Amy. I just wanted to follow up if you had mentioned with meeting with President Stokes about the 5-year plan to be in the top hiring entities in New Mexico, by chance.
I did. And just for the rest of you, this was something that Mark had sent in via our exec listserv, so most of you probably won't know the question. But 5 years ago, the president, when she was new to the university, was asked why UNM was not on the list of top places to work in Albuquerque. And she had said, I don't know, but we should get on that list and let's try to do it within 5 years. And so we're not on that list today. I did talk to the president about that. There's a lot more to it than just being a good employer. Apparently you have to make certain payments to get certain surveys sent to certain groups. I'm not saying that it is kind of a dicey list or not. I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say that just as we all know, it takes more than being a good actor to get an Oscar. Takes more than being a good employer to get on that list. So they are investigating what it might take, but that is the reason that it hasn't happened yet, is it's a much more complex process. But we are, you know, we did talk to her about it yesterday, and she is going to follow up. That's the information that she had for us.
Are there any other questions for Amy?
Amy, it's Brian Jones. I would just point out very quickly as well, we are on the list of top employers in New Mexico. we're just not on the Albuquerque list.
Yeah, that's a great point, Brian. And that's part of the question, right, is what lists are. We can't be on every list because of the fact that it's not always a straightforward process. But we are a great employer. We're focusing on certain lists, but we are looking into that.
Okay, thank you. Executive Committee report, Grace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I don't have much, actually. Amy did a really good job and covered most of the things that I was going to talk about. Just a reminder that for everyone's benefit here, I am on the search committee for the vice president and chief human resource officer. That's the new name, I think. So if you have any questions, even after our listening sessions, as Amy mentioned, please let me know and I can bring those forward too. That's it for the executive report.
Okay, thank you, Grace. Now it's the speaker's report. With a unanimous consent and without objection, I would like to appoint Teresa Sherman to the Staff Success Committee. Is there any objection to that? With unanimous consent and without objection, I would like to appoint Candy Romero to the Rewards and Recognition Committee. Thank you. And I have a little statement to make before we move on to our old business for later. As we prepare to readdress the motion of the resolution on defending academic freedom, I hope you've done your homework and are prepared to share your opinions. It is important to remember that everyone has the right to their own opinion and the right to object. However, it is equally important to be respectful and kind towards others, regardless of their views. It is important to note that some resolutions call for action, such as percentage of raises for staff, while others are simply in support of something. The resolution we will debate later is in support of the Faculty Senate resolution on the same topic. Let us approach this discussion with open mind and willingness to listen to each other's perspectives. Thank you. Are there any questions for me? Carla, are you here for the treasurer's report? Yeah, she's excused for now. Okay. Committee reports, the ethics committee. Is there anyone from the ethics committee that has a report for us? The Rules and Election Committee, Mark.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. So for rules and elections, we've met a few times since our last business meeting, our last regular business meeting in February. So if you recall, at that time, we approved the initial grade counselor distribution for the election for this spring. And then We ended up getting another pool on 228. So we met on March 2nd to discuss the new pool and what that meant and do a reshuffle of our distribution. And as you all were notified, we decided that it required us to have a special call of a business meeting, which we did on March 7th. And I presented the new pool. And again, the only thing that changed between the two was the grades 16 through 19 got more employees in their numbers. So it put their percentage from average at over 15% to 17.2 or something. So we just had to let you all know that and that there was no way to reconcile it any other way and get approval. And we got approval at that meeting, as those of you who were there know. So that's good. And then we also met last Monday on the 13th, as required by the election code, to determine ballot order for all the candidates that submitted self-nominations for grade elections this spring. That was done by random draw and went off with no problems. So all that's being worked on in the background by our exceptional administrator, Amy. And as President Ortiz mentioned, grade elections open next Monday, the 27th, and they run for that week through Friday at 5 p.m. on the 31st. Once all of those that elections complete, the first week of April, we'll be notifying the candidates of the results. If there's any tiebreakers, R&E will need to break those ties with the candidates involved, if there are any. And it's also the opportunity by next Friday for anybody that wants to challenge the results to challenge them, submit their challenge, and then we'll review those as well. So I just wanted to remind everybody that there's still an option for writing in when you get your ballot on Monday. In case you or somebody that you wanted or hoping was self-nominating didn't get it done in time for whatever reason, and you still think that they may be the better candidate or one of the better candidates within the group, if there's more than one open seat in your grade, you can still write in a person at that point, including yourself. But do look at the election guide. We have a lot of really exceptional, I think, self-nominations in there already. So I think it's going to be a good addition to our group. That's all I had to say on this topic at the moment. Are there any questions for me?
Are there any questions for Mark? I don't see any. Oh, go ahead, Grace.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. Mark, is there at least one person in all the grades?
That's a good question, Grace. There is at least one self-nomination in all of them, except for that group grade of 16 through 19. We had no self-nominations in that group. So if there are any, hopefully there's write-ins for that. But otherwise, we had at least one in each. Some of them had a total number of self-nominations less than the total number of seats, but not many. And happy to say several had a lot of self-nominations above the seats. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, so we're still missing grade 16 through 19 self-nominations. So if that's any of you who are currently here and want to continue working on the council as an official member, consider writing yourself in.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Not seeing any, we'll move on to the Communication and Marketing Committee. Brian?
I'm here. Communications and marketing attempted to meet. We had set up a Zoom meeting that we had idiot operator problems, so we will reschedule it. We do owe some work to the staff success and awards committee, I believe. So we need to get on that. So that's our primary task in this coming week and next week. Gaddy, I promise we will get on it. I will make sure the Zoom invitation works this next time. And that's what's in store for the communications and marketing in the coming week.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Brian? Not seeing any. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Grace, I think that's you, according to my notes.
Yeah, that is me. So I'm like sort of carrying the load for my co-chairs here and some others. But the minutes will send your way. If you have any questions, please email Angela. But I wanted to just kind of call attention to unfinished business, as was mentioned earlier, of the resolution from last time. And you will hear this from all of the executive committee members, is that for this motion and all other motions that are brought to the floor, we always look forward to an engaging and respectful debate. And that's really it for DEI. Oh, one more thing for DEI. We had the Tanya Covington event that went really well. I don't know if Sharina is here. She can speak to that. She was a stellar in organizing that.
Thank you, Grace. Yeah, I just wanted to share with you all that we invited somebody who has a very nice expertise and oftentimes speaks at UNM, specifically, especially to all the trainees in clinical settings, EMTs, nursing students, medical students. And our topic for the closing of the Black History Month celebration was really looking at the history that's affected marginalized communities, particularly Black, Brown, Indigenous communities, and why there is a community mistrust of medicine and what we can do moving forward, what we need to know to acknowledge and then move forward and kind of bridge those gaps, especially as we move through and hopefully past this time of global pandemic. So if you guys want, we recorded that and we can distribute that lecture accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Do you have more, Grace? I'm sorry.
I was just saying thanks.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Grace or even Sharina? Seeing none, environmental sustainability, that would be Sharina.
Hi, thank you. So we wanted to, I just want to bring up that we are working on several things. One of them is this project of eventually getting a unit for onboarding and hopefully also annual reminders in Learning Central that will essentially connect 5 different departments that cover all waste streams on UNM campus. That includes biosafety, recycling, waste management, and the other two. Sorry, I'm blanking right now. But if we could have a unit where everybody can be familiar with what are the best practices for getting rid of different waste streams, and have that be even like an annual reminder. That's one project we're doing. And out of all of the options, we were thinking we could start off with a PowerPoint and a simple voiceover. And so we're actually working behind the scenes to gather those slides and information, get the final approval from the different departments about, hey, this will be our first version of this. That's one. Two, we talked about continuing our Lunch and Learn series. And so our initial order might be changed, and we are targeting the food industry part of UNM. And we're gonna ask different directors of the different food services to talk about things like where they source their food from, how we can have sustainable practices, what is stopping some sustainable practices that we do want and how we can best support those things, and even if they compost. And so that's on target to be our next Lunch and Learn. We're also making plans for Earth Day, and hopefully have an opening celebration with medicinal boxes and maybe curandero come and talk about medicinal plants and stuff. And so we're also working on that. And last thing is the director of the Sustainability Studies Department, Dr. Melissa Morgan. We are approaching her to actually do a bonus Lunch and Learn, as she just authored another book called The End of Sustainability. So those are things we're working on in the background. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Sharina? I see Amber's hand is up.
Hi, Sharina. I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to be sitting on the RFP committee for the new food vendor. And if you had any questions that you wanted me to be aware of, maybe I could help.
That's great. I'll reach out to you by email and we could chat.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Sharina? Not seeing any. Let's go on to government relations with Mary, Councilor Mary Phibbs.
Hello there. So we did meet this month at the beginning of the month. So as Amy had said, we're expecting a 5 to 6% increase in compensation, although we have no idea how that's going to be rolled out if the governor signs it. So thank you for everybody's help throughout the legislative session to promote the staff council and the needs of the staff to everyone on the legislature. Our next thing is going to be to start working on a capital outlay project. We'll be seeking information about a good capital outlay project that will enhance the working lives of staff at UNM that we can present to the legislature next year. We'll have more information for you about how to get us the information and to let your constituents know about this project next time we meet. And we are planning to do like a lunch and learn with a member of the New Mexico legislature who can give us a little bit more information about how bills go through the roundhouse, how that whole project process works. I guess having for any specific, please email me and let me know. And I think that's all we have this month. Does anyone have any questions?
Are there any questions for Mary? I don't think anyone's here for the HSCS committee. Is there someone here who can give a report for them? No.
So I can. We did not meet.
Okay, thank you. The IT committee, Damien?
Hi, how's it going? Yes, we met last week, I believe it was. Anyways, we did talk about creating a IT survey or information technology survey that helped people improve people's lives working remotely, et cetera, lessons learned after the pandemic. I did get email from Kevin from HR to go ahead. So we're going to start working on making a stab at some of the questions that we'd like to send out at our next meeting. We talked about staff resources through MyUNM, having a presentation for at our general staff council meeting probably in the next couple of months. Still working on some other technologies that are coming out that we'll probably have some presentations on and discussions. And then we had a lengthy discussion around virtual desktop usage. Again, more stuff talking about being able to work with remotely, et cetera, and trying to improve our remote work lives. That's pretty much it for the staff council or for the IT committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Rewards and recognition. I know you, I don't think Yade is here today. Grace, were you going to give the report?
Yeah, I'll just give a brief update. One thing that the committee is really working hard on is the Appreciation Week and the planning for that. So that is going really well. But if you're still interested in joining the committee, please do so. We will be sending out a link to solicit volunteers for all the events that are being planned. So be on the lookout for that. The first quarter pause award nominations have been completed and almost done scoring. So, and the next quarter nomination period will open next month. So be on the lookout for that. The other award that the committee is working on is the Jim Davis Award, and I believe it's being scored. That's probably all I can say on that one. I think that's all the points and the minutes were sent ahead. So if you have any questions, please. I know without Yade, I feel like I'm so incapable of giving this minute. So please send us any. Yes.
Grace, do you want to have your funding request? Do you want to move that your funding request be approved for Staff Appreciation Week?
Yes, please. Do you have that handy, Amy? You're a godsend. See, I already forgot that.
No problem. Hold on one sec.
Well, she's pulling that up. Can I make a comment about our committee?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for everybody that contributed to the gift collection for our former basket preparer for the PARS Award. A week before last, I did purchase her some local gift cards. We were able to send her a couple $100 worth of gifts based on your donations, and I send it by certified mail, and I've seen that she's received it. So she has a few gift cards from a few local vendors. So thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer is always good about getting these things done and keeping us on track. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Amy sharing her screen, and on here you can see the event request for the Staff Appreciation Week with the breakdown of the cost. The details of it is in the event request. If you have any questions, please send us an email. We are planning on at least 3 locations for the burrito event. This year we're adding South Campus to the 2 locations we have. But for the most part, the rest of the events seem to be the same, I think, Amy, with the exception of the sports events, I believe.
Yeah, they're pretty close. Some of the tours on campus are still being arranged and those details still being solidified. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it'll be similar to what we did last year.
All right. Does anybody have questions for me on the event request? Hearing none, I move that the council approve the funding request as presented.
Since this is coming from committee, it doesn't need to be second. Does anybody have any discussion on this? Seeing none, so without objection, I would like to approve this funding for the Staff Appreciation Week. Are there any objections to that? Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Staff Success Committee, Madeline.
I sent the minutes over. You guys can review those. The most important update that we have is that Staff as Students is coming out in about 2 weeks. There's already been a few questions that I've received in relation to it. We have a few tables left if for some reason your department wants to be included. If you're not sure your department is included and you want to double check, just let me know. And if you're interested in taking classes, then please do show up on April 3rd from 11:30 to 1. So, that's pretty much all we've got.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Madeline for the Staff Success Committee?
Amber, yes.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was behind. regarding staff as students, just as a tidbit from the registrar's office, we won't be opening registration for staff until the 11 o'clock time. So if you're thinking that you're not going to be able to come to the event, please know that we won't be doing any early bird giving of the pin or the releasing. It's just to be fair and to encourage attendance at staff as students.
I agree. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Sure.
Yes, Grace.
But Grace, sorry.
Madeline and Amber, thank you for that information. So how then are we going to accommodate remote staff that can come to campus?
Amber, do you want to answer that? Do you want me to try?
I can speak to the registrar's office. You can email department update. And I can find the actual link. An email will go out though, from Amy's office, right? Amy, you send out an email indicating that people can contact where to email indicating that you want to enroll for staff as students, and a pin will be applied to your profile.
Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions? Thanks. Strategic planning, that's you again, Grace.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The committee met, but we did not have any official business because there was no quorum on that.
Okay. Any questions on that? Okay. UNM policy review, that would be you again, Grace. I guess you guys are reviewing the new policies that came out.
Yeah, yes, we are. So we received the draft policies yesterday morning. Thank you, Amy. And we were able to meet yesterday afternoon to kind of go over at least the policy, the new video security policy section by section. So we will be meeting again next week to finalize the other two policies and compile our comments and feedback. One thing the council should be looking out for is, like before, we will be drafting a script that you can share out with your constituents. That way we have consistent language going out to the UNM community, and that will come from the committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other, are there any councilor comments at this time? So on to the unfinished business, did you want to introduce the motion, Mark?
Sure. Thank you, Speaker Lane. So we all know what our unfinished business is. So on behalf of the Staff Council Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, I move that the Staff Council approves the Defending Academic Freedom for faculty and staff resolution as was distributed to all of us in support of the Faculty Senate resolution defending academic freedom to teach about race and gender justice and critical race theory.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
Wasn't that moved and seconded with debate begun at the last meeting?
We postponed it.
Was it postponed after it was moved and seconded?
Yes.
Then you would need to make a motion again. Debate simply continues where it left off last time.
That's what I thought also. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure how that worked, but thank you. Since you introduced, go ahead and speak on it, Mark, since you're there.
Great. Thank you, Adam, for that information. So as you all know, I sent out an informational email about what I thought was really important for us as far as discussing this motion or this resolution. And that is really number one. I wanted to make sure we all understood that we want to solicit our thoughts from our constituents, right? Because that's what we're here for. We don't want to be assuming we speak for all of our constituents. And so I sent out that email, and I hope all, if not most, if not all of us, were able to contact our constituents and ask for feedback regarding our support resolution here. So as we know, what happened was in November, this Faculty Senate passed their Defending Academic Freedom to Teach About Race and Gender Justice and Critical Race Theory resolution. And within that, they discussed why it's important to maintain academic freedom, specifically at UNM, which really is defined by them as maintaining integrity of the diversity of thoughts, ideologies, and ways of teaching to service as many of our students and community members as possible. And for that, usually has historically been honored as university faculty are considered to have their authority and like are the best minds to decide how to present and what to present in what manner. And so what they had in that, if you read the Faculty Senate one that was linked, it talks about how their resolution is that they want to maintain a diversity of thought. They don't want to curtail it, and they don't want to be put at risk of losing one aspect or option for education for any of our students based off of any kind of what they say outside influences, which they include even the Board of Regents, the state, the legislature, and whoever may have influenced those people for whatever opinion they had about these specific topics. They also linked in there the policy 2220 about free speech and how this goes with that, just like anything else where the university is considered an open place for ideas. And so way to meet certain speech, if you don't agree with it, is to, you know, counter it with speech. And we have dialogue. That's part of how we each grow and how we each learn, right? And so throughout this, they give several examples from the right to free assembly, their faculty handbook. They say they show the university mission statement and how this resolution meets that as far as educating and encouraging students to develop the values, habits of mind, knowledge, and skills that they need to be enlightened citizens and discover and disseminate new knowledge and creative endeavors that will enhance the overall well-being of society and actively support social, cultural, and economic development in our communities to enhance the quality of life for all New Mexicans. And so at the end of it, they called on other groups, like I mentioned in the email, including staff council, to consider supporting this. And as it appears to be a resolution that encourages continued maintenance of diversity of thought without curtailing anything on anybody's side whatsoever as far as what they want to believe or want to seek out for their educational experience at UNM. The Staff Council Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee took it upon ourselves to read over it and discuss whether we wanted to have our own Staff Council resolution in support. And we decided we did. And that's how we came up with our staff council resolution in support. And in that, you can also see we reference some of what was actually in the Faculty Senate one. And then we also had our bullet points about how faculty rely and students rely on staff. As you know, we are very important in playing out how this educational endeavor helps our students. And specifically, they talked about instructional assistants, instructional media specialists, educators, and employee organizational development are able to express our views on academic matters in the classroom when conducting research. And importantly, they also talked about the advisement office, right? And student success staff who are there to help students navigate an educational course that is beneficial to them and meets their interests, right? And how it's important for us to have all those tools available to make sure that we are really providing the broadest information and assistance to our students to fulfill the university's mission. So really, that's what it's about. I'd always like to say, you know, resolutions are always up for debate, especially with topics that in the news media you see are talked about a lot, and people have varying opinions on what they think is appropriate or not. But I just would like to say that the reason DEI wrote this support resolution is because, in our opinion, we believe it promotes diversity and does not, and encourages us not to take away another avenue of education and enlightenment for our community members. Resolutions are always an opinion, right? They're not a law or anything like that. So that is the resolution that we are proposing today and continuing discussion on. And I just wanted to give that bit of background and perspective on it. And I'm hoping that during debate, our counselors will provide the comments of their constituents, if they received any, to help us inform our discussion here better and make sure we're understanding that when we go for a vote, that we are as confident as we can be that our vote represents our constituents who elected us and entrusted us with their voices. Thank you, Speaker Lane.
Thank you, Councillor Mark. Stefan, go ahead. You have 10 minutes, basically.
Oh, I do have 10 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. So as we were asked to go ahead and look at this resolution and to research it and to understand it, I thought it'd be important to share what I've learned and what I know. So CRT is a framework for thinking about the world. The basic tenets of CRT: one, racism is ordinary and not aberrational. Two, that white over color ascendancy serves important purposes, both psychic and material, for the dominant group. Three, that race and races are products of social thought and relations. Four, the minority status brings with a presumed competence to speak about race and racism, meaning that if you're a person of color, you get to speak about race and racism and nobody else does. Altogether, CRT means all inequality is inequity. Any discrepancy can be called systemic racism without having to explain how that discrepancy occurred. You just have to point to the discrepancy, and this in of itself means all institutions are racist. Derek Bell, a proponent of CRT, argued that Brown versus Board of Education was an attempt by the white patriarchy to enforce racism for its own purpose. In this view, the system is damned if it does and damned if it doesn't. CRT is a racist ideology, also assigns generational and racial guilt for conduct in the past. CRT is a Marxist ideology. And so what is Marxist ideology? Marxism creates different classes, different groups of people, and has them war against each other. The oppressed rise up against the oppressor, and therefore they can overthrow the oppressor and start a new regime. This is what critical race theory teaches, that if you are a certain skin color or a certain ethnicity or a certain gender, you have been oppressed. It creates levels of oppression in people's minds in many places where there has not been oppression. Every time Marxism has been implemented in a nation, it strips the freedoms and rights of individuals. This creates a very oppressive government, where not only does the government take away your rights, but the government also throws its own people into prisons and oftentimes executes them just for having wrong faith. Marxist regimes in the 20th century have killed more than 100 million people. So we should say no to CRT and Marxism. People will argue, but doesn't CRT teach real history? CRT is not committed to teaching history of minorities. If it was, it would teach about the great Black American heroes, such as the early Black members of the U.S. Congress, Benjamin Turner, right after Civil War, or Jefferson Long, the first Black representative to speak on the House of Floor, also post-Civil War. Or the American heroes, such as Bass Reeves, a famous lawman of the Old West, or James Armistead, who played an integral role in the American War for Independence and became an influential Black patriot behind America's most important victory in the war. He was a double spy that brought defeat to the British. Or Clara Brown, also known as Angel of the Rockies, who helped free Blacks after the Civil War to move to Colorado to help them find jobs and new homes. She was a great woman, and that when she died, the mayor of Denver and the governor of Colorado attended her ceremony. Clara's life and achievements were commemorated with a stained glass portrait of her in the state capitol building in Colorado. America is not perfect, but as we see in the Constitution, the preamble says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Note what it's saying, we the people, that means all of us. Come together to perform, to create a more perfect union, meaning as we grow, we get better. So why am I against this resolution? It's because of what Sol and Owens have pointed out, and I quote, essentially every societal ill that we have past and present is due to some person in the academia. It was the academics who brought up Jim Crow. It was the academics who thought up eugenics. It was the academics who decided that unless you're from a superior race, you should not be having children, that we should not be having mixed race children, and we should not be having immigrants mating with the supreme Nordic race. One of these people was Madison Grant, who wrote the novel, The Passing of the Great Race, which was hailed as such an important book. Interesting enough, this book did inspire Adolf Hitler. Should we be thanking the academics? I say, no, we should not. If we look at people like President Woodrow Wilson, who was a segregationist and who popularized the Klansman and showed the first KKK film in the White House, known as The Birth of a Nation, which also quoted his book that he wrote. Wilson resegregated the federal workforce. Did you know that it was desegregated before him? I give him as an example of an academic who had bad ideas. Before becoming US president, he was a president of Princeton, where he prevented Black students from enrolling. All this to say that because academics say something does not mean that they're arbiters of truth and that they do get things wrong from time to time. CRT is something that they are getting wrong. As I've been informed, this resolution seeks to maintain a campus of open inquiry, support, and maintain diversity of thought and education. The curriculum at UNM should not be developed and promoted by the educators without undue influence by special interest groups. I'd argue that they are very much influenced by interest groups and, worse yet, Marxist ideologies. Why don't academics want us to talk about their curriculums? This resolution says it provides information of how and why academic freedom is important, as well as to support UNM's mission and vision, as well as the maintenance of diversity of thought and opportunity for a comprehensive education for all of our community members. But as we see in this resolution, its goals are nefarious, seeking to undermine states' rights to debate issues, undermine elected school boards for determining what the communities want their children to be taught, including preventing these boards from being able to stand up to sexual indoctrination of our children and Marxist ideologies. Mind you, banning books is not a real concern of this resolution, as it so points out. If it was, there would be outrage over the fact that the Bible is banned in many schools. This resolution seeks to affirm the faculty and Marxist ideology that is so pervasive in our academic system. People are judged by their skin color and not their character. People are silenced when they don't agree or have wrong think. CRT and other ideologies have been detrimental to many of us. Myself as an example, I received a BA and an MBA from UNM, but because of these ideologies, I'm not sure if these degrees were truly earned or were only given to me because of my skin color and Mexican last name. I will never be able to say that I earned these degrees because of my hard work. My accomplishments have been stolen by CRT and DEI ideologies and those who push it. This is truly sad to take away the hard work of those who came from nothing only to be unsure of their achievements. I hope you have compassion and see that these ideas are already affecting people directly. I will not vote in favor of this resolution, nor should you. And make no mistake, if you vote no on this resolution, you will be identified and face the consequences of voting no, as I'd imagine there would be a roll call vote.
Thank you, Councillor Stephen. Councillor Grace? You also have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. As requested last time, this is actually, I'm reading on behalf of Yade. She's not here. She sent out an email to her constituents to get feedback on the resolution that we're going, that is currently in debate right now. So I am going to read on her behalf the responses from her constituent group. The first one says, I think you should vote yes on defending academic freedom to teach about race and gender justice and critical race theory. I am willing to listen to others' thoughts, but putting our head in the sand on history will not help us. Should we mention to these people who insist on modern classical education that the Greeks and Romans also owned slaves? Do they understand what serfdom entailed? Do they discuss indentured servants? And I am appalled that some governors think they with the help of their cronies and donors, can limit university level education and discussion, and that they're arrogant and thinking short term to limit such discussions in schools anywhere. The next one is a quote from ABQ News Stories, which I will post a link down here, and I'm not gonna read it. The next one says, I am so glad that Staff Council is taking this up. As noted in the resolution, this is not just a faculty issue, but a staff issue as well. It is critical that we stand united against the censorship that is sweeping across all levels of education. Thank you so much for representing us in supporting this resolution. I wholeheartedly support this resolution. Thank you for the informative email. Just writing to say thank you for your service and I fully support the resolution. Thank you for sharing. I do not have any edits for changes, but I do think the multiplicity of ideas and the ability to express them, regardless of how uncomfortable it may make others feel, is extremely important. Will the faculty be advocating for instruction in how to conduct civil rights, civil dialogue? Just curious. For what it's worth, I approve the resolution. Thank you for keeping us in the loop with higher level decisions. The last one says, I read the information provided, and I would like to point out that we have just come through COVID and are hoping for more students, more job applicants, and cohesion at all levels. Academic freedom used as an excuse for political indoctrination is a slippery subject and debate is heated, creating a lot of divisiveness. Other universities might not take the same political approach, meaning staff, students, and professors will have alternatives where to learn and work, and some will take advantage of that, leaving UNM at a loss. No, I do not support this resolution because I think it will do UNM more bad than good, at least for the time being. I just wanted to echo that these are our constituents' voices, multiple of them on both sides. And this is, I think, what we are called for as councillors, is to represent our constituents' voices and vote on behalf of what they are supporting. And that's the end of the citation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Javier?
Hi, everybody. I'll start by reading. I did share an email with grade 14 constituents asking for feedback around the resolution. I believe that Stephen Murillo is also a grade 14 representative, but he did not respond to me, but shared thoughts orally here. So this is the same grade. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3. I think there's 7 comments, and I'll just read them flat out as they were shared with me via email. Greetings, grade 14 representatives. Thank you for this information. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts on these very important issues. I support the resolution, academic freedom, diversity of thought, and the teaching of critical race theory at UNM. Second comment, I have read the resolution and I support it. Thank you for doing what you do for staff. Third comment, staff council grade 14 representative, I am writing to support passage of the staff council academic freedom support resolution. Teaching history and principles of equity and inclusion has been under attack across the country. The University of New Mexico values our diversity and inclusion and our academic freedom. As a provider of academic support and advisement, it is critical that I be able to draw from our university's rich community history and diverse experience in supporting our students. Thank you for supporting this resolution. Fourth comment, I absolutely support this resolution and the staff council's support of it as well. Fifth comment, I wanted to write and let you know that I'm in full support of this resolution. I'm watching my colleagues in Florida do backflips and shutter impactful programming because of the legislature there. It's going to take years to recover the lost work and momentum. Thank you for your work and dedication on staff council. Sixth comment, dear representatives, thank you for forwarding this. If UNM wants to be taken seriously as a university and continue to attract good students and faculty and staff, it needs to preserve academic freedom. I hope it passes. And then the seventh comment, it looks great, and this constituent supports the adoption of the resolution. And then I'll just share my own personal support for this resolution. I am also a human being who lives in the intersections of identity. I have immigrant family. I am biracial. I'm queer. I do consider myself a person of color with very pale skin, where that identity is, you know, part of my interactions within academia. And I will share that, you know, I think it's healthy to dialogue and debate and also ground our thoughts and comments in actual, you know, factual data. And I will share, you know, just from the trauma that my father experienced in the school systems here in New Mexico, which were exclusive and actually physically punished my father for the language that he spoke as a child. You know, a lot of that is very impactful and should be taught, and people should be having discussions specifically around academia and how it has traumatized many communities, including myself as a queer person and as a person of color. I will say that I think teaching well-rounded history and inclusive history is one of the tools we have as an academic institution to actually help reduce inequities and disparities across our state. And, you know, when you consider the history, or if we consider our history, New Mexico there has a very tumultuous history with the United States and colonization, where the people here were dehumanized and actually not wanted as part of the Union of the United States. We were a changing territory with changing borders for many years. And that was actually the political debate among our politicians in Washington for many years as why we didn't belong, due to the people that were living here and the languages spoken. And so I think all of those things are important to consider. And I think they need to be included in teachings, you know, not just at the university level, but throughout our classrooms, in order for us to not repeat the same mistakes that have been repeated over and over again. And, you know, I work in healthcare, and I often see like the disparities that existed as a child for me are continue to exist. So I support the resolution, and thank you everybody for sharing.
Thank you, Councilor Javier. Councilor President Amy.
Thanks, Speaker Lane. So first I'd like to thank everybody who did reach out to their constituents. And whether you choose to share their feedback or not, if you reached out and decided to use that to inform your vote, thank you. I'd like to address something that Councilor Murillo raised as a concern. Whether or not there is a roll call vote on any issue, discrimination against a councilor because of their vote on any motion, will not be tolerated by me or by this body ever. In the same way that I will echo Javier and say, Javier and I maybe should have a cup of coffee at some point, because my dad had Spanish beaten out of him in kindergarten, but in Arizona. My family is from Mexico. I am also incredibly pale. And I am a proudly queer woman. And so that those are my intersections. I know that I'm not going to be discriminated by any counselor in this body for my beliefs or who I am. And we're not doing that to anybody else. So rest assured, whatever type of vote we take today, whether it is public or not, that's not happening. And if it does, we're going to stomp that out really quick. The other thing I want to touch on is that, let's be clear, no one's mind will be changed today about whether or not they think gender studies is a great idea, whether or not they think CRT is a great idea. That's not happening today, right? But that's also not the point of this resolution. The point of the resolution is supporting that we support faculty's right to teach what they want to teach. If we removed those and replaced them with teaching the ideology of Adolf Hitler as a course, I guarantee you faculty would support that. They would support their right to do that, because what faculty are saying is that in this particular political climate, these are the things people don't want taught. But in general, we want to be able to teach whatever we want. I will vote for this if the vote comes before I have to drop off the meeting. But that's my stand on this, is that faculty should have the right in any institution of higher education to teach what they want to teach. And students have the right to choose their courses accordingly, right? No course at the university teaches CRT, LGBTQIA studies, or anything controversial that is a required course for you to obtain a degree from the University of New Mexico. And by the way, university education is not compulsory. Comparing this to K through 12 is apples and oranges. K through 12 is compulsory in the United States of America. That is the reason why we elect school board members, why we have state education commissions, why these things are government controlled, because the government decided it's compulsory. You coming to UNM and getting an education here is not. You've already made a choice to come here, and then you can choose what you want to learn about. And you should be able to choose from anything a faculty member is willing to teach. So let's not conflate academic freedom with particular ideologies we do not agree with, because every single one of us could go through the course catalog and find a class that we think is sketchy, every single one of us. And there's going to be another person in this body of only 60, 38 of whom are here today, right? Who's going to look at that course and think, yeah, that sounds good. I would like to learn about that. Maybe you want to learn about it because you agree with it. Maybe you want to learn about it because you want to learn more about things you disagree. Doesn't matter. This is about academic freedom. So I just want to remind you all of that, because there is language specifically calling out certain courses of study that are controversial, but that is not the point. Again, I appreciate every single one of you. It's a hard topic to debate. I get it. Thank you so much for your work and reaching out to your constituents.
Thank you, Councillor Amy. Councillor Damian?
Yes, I reached out to my constituents for Precinct 15, representing most of the Information Technologies Department. 8 responded with 2 in strong opposition, and I had 6 in support. Quotes that I did receive from people: this resolution is a positive affirmation of speech and discourse and is worth reiterating. Another good quote was, we must continue to listen closely to each other, respectfully, as difficult as it is at times. and we must continue to stand strong in support of academic freedom. We want a society of thoughtful, creative, kind, collaborative citizens wherein everybody belongs. We have a responsibility to each other, our students, and our communities to ensure academic freedom. Within that freedom is the freedom to choose and to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Damian. Councillor Jean?
I first off want to thank Amy for her comments, because they were some of the best that I've heard over these topics. I am opposed to this. I support academic freedom, the concept I support. I do not support this this resolution. One of the joys of being older than dirt is that you've been around a long time and you've seen a lot of things. And I first started at UNM in 1975. And in 1975, one of the courses that I took was taught by a Marxist. He started the course off saying, "I'm a Marxist. You're not going to hear balance out of me. You're going to hear the Marxist way of thinking. Okay. If you want to get a balanced course, take it from somebody else." Okay. What I appreciated and applauded him was he told me straight up front where he was coming from and what was important to him. And that's the part of academic freedom that I support. Okay, obviously I'm not a Marxist, but the concept of being able to hear that voice is important to me. Too often what I see going on through academia around the country and what I see at UNM is a one-sided approach to these things. I'm a moderate. Okay, I do not feel comfortable expressing my views at UNM because they've been shouted down so many times it's not even funny. Okay, now, council and many other places that I work with, there's a great deal of respect for me maybe as a person, but my political beliefs are not welcomed. And they're told that. Okay, tolerance at UNM seems to be, and many other places, seems to be a one-sided thing. We tolerate you as long as we agree with what you're saying, but we don't tolerate you if we don't agree. The way that this is worded is the same thing. The wording is hostile in many places. Instead of using words that are neutral, the words themselves are inflammatory. If this particular resolution that said, "We stand in support of academic freedom," I'd be the first to sign up for it. Okay, one of the things that Amy said was one of the things that persuades me the most on this. If you take away all of the controversial language, then the rest of this is something that I think most people would support. But for whatever reason, there are people on every one of these issues that are going to have a different perspective. I'm Hispanic. I'm proud to be Hispanic. Okay, but that doesn't mean that I share the thoughts and views of every other Hispanic that's around. I'm in a minority even within the Hispanic community. Okay, so my concept of racism is very different than yours or somebody else's or any of these other issues. But supporting the idea of them is okay. It's when it's forced on you that I have the issue. And in the way that this particular resolution is written, you know, the words themselves are inflammatory. And if it didn't have that kind of language in it that presupposes that X, Y, or Z is a good thing and being anti-X, Y, or Z is a bad thing on its face, then I could support this in any of those other concepts. So as written, I can't support it. And thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jean. Councillor Ciara?
Thank you, Speaker Lane. I am rising to speak in support of this motion, this resolution. I think it is important that we acknowledge that this resolution is trying to prevent outside forces from forcing certain ideologies on our faculty and thus onto our students, and that can trickle down over into the staff realm as well. A lot of us have been or are students, a lot of us have been involved in teaching at various times. And this is basically saying that we don't want whoever's the governor who appoints the regents to tell UNM faculty what they can teach. Rather, it is just trying to open it up to being who the faculty, their area of expertise is what they can teach, and they can come forward and say this is not biased, or they can say that this is going to be a biased class or whatever it is. But what we want to do is make sure that everyone has the opportunity to learn about all of the different ideas, even if we disagree with them. So that is why I am rising in support of this motion, and I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sierra. Councillor Amber.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. I hadn't prepared any comments for this, but some things sparked my interest as we were listening. One is that I believe, well, first of all, I'm a Hispanic and white woman who was raised by an African-American and Hispanic dad, African-American woman and Hispanic dad on the UNM campus during the late 60s and early 70s. I was here while my parents created a lot of the infrastructure framework that and fought for that we enjoy today. So I, even though I was young, I had a front row seat to what we're doing at UNM. I agree with Councillor Jean. I agree that we do need the opportunity to express how we view things in a respectful and open dialogue. But I also know, as a child who was not afforded, and I would imagine most of us in this organization were not afforded a balanced education, the things that I had to learn about who I was and where I was from and who my people were came because my parents were actively involved in educating me. I also wouldn't have learned a lot of things about how other people think if I wasn't given the opportunity to explore them. If I wasn't given the opportunity to say, wait, this doesn't sit with me. And that is part of what an academic freedom allows. It gives us the space to learn about things and define for ourselves what we do and do not believe. And those have historically been quashed. So, I also will support this, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Amber. Councillor Stephen.
Thank you. I did talk to constituents, and because I'm precinct, I'm not limited to grade. And the great thing about being precinct is I get to have personal conversation with those people. Of the people that I've spoken to, the majority did oppose this resolution. And I agree with what Councillor Henley was saying, that there is quite a bit of inflammatory language in it. But I do support academic freedom. I truly do. I believe education is the great equalizer amongst people. And I do understand the histories of discrimination and racism. And because I'm a student of history, especially American history, pre-British, pre-Civil, you know, Revolutionary War. And so what I see in history, I value. And I do think we should teach the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I respect professors that I've had in the past that do embrace those things. My issue is that these ideologies, the CRT and the Marxism, they're not always told to people and to students. Like we heard earlier, they weren't stated at the beginning. They weren't told that that's what their agenda was or their motives were. And that's where I take issue with these types of resolutions. Considering within the past few months, we've had people on campus ran off Lauren Southern, who I do not agree with on anything at all. I do agree that she has the right to speak on campus. We've had Charlie Kirk ran off campus. How many people have been invited to campus but have been denied the opportunity to speak because of students, staff, and faculty protesting them? And I'm all for a peaceful protest. I believe that's a constitutional right that we should all embrace and make our minds known. I believe that and support that 100%. However, I have a problem when institutions, academic institutions across the nation, including UNM, that allow for violent protests and don't allow different ideas. Everything I've heard about this resolution, everything I've read about it, all the comments that I've heard, you know, it's all about we need to have speech and to counteract bad speech is to have more speech. But how can you counter speech when you're not allowed to voice that opinion? And that's why I don't support this.
Thank you, Councillor Stephen. Amber?
I just want to respond in that history is written by the victor. So as we look at history, we are looking at, for a lot of American education, a colonized viewpoint of history. And so we have to be careful. And that's all I want to say about that.
Thank you, Amber. Are there any more debate? Go ahead, Serena.
Thank you. I just wanted to share one of the replies that I got back. I represent Precinct 22. I actually just only got two, and they're both positively for it, but I just wanted to share. Thanks for sending that out. I think it's very important to support the faculty senate's resolution, and I'm glad they're being vocal about this issue. It may be too politically touchy, but I have hopes that united faculty senates across the nation are going further to somehow send messages of support to embattlement institutions seeing their freedoms threatened, i.e. in Florida and Texas, now Idaho. I know someone who's a retired professor battling artistic censorship at a state college in Idaho as we speak. The atmosphere is just awful, and I fear spreading. So I just wanted to share that. And also make the point that the academia of 50 years ago is not necessarily representative of the academia now. I actually went to grad school with, even though I was a biology major, my husband is from the School of Education, is faculty here at UNM. And so all of our colleagues from graduate school happen to actually be CRT professors all across the country. And just to hear them as people, it's not something easy to swallow. It's not an agenda. I don't want to say agenda, but it's an uphill battle to spread the counter narrative, because for the longest time, faculty did not look like them. Faculty of color are still a rare thing. Less than 1.2% of Americans hold a PhD. And even out of all of those people, there's even fewer that that identify as faculty of color. And then even out of all of them, not all of them are teaching the social sciences. So this is not, it's not everywhere, right? And we need to, I think what I'm trying to say is, because it's relatively new in the history of universities here in the US, you know, it's really just, it's hard for faculty who are teaching these things to even be accepted to teach it. And I think that brings us back to the point is we're trying to protect the right of faculty to teach what they're gonna teach. That's it, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any more debate? Go ahead, Carla.
Hi, I'm sorry for joining the meeting late, but I guess, first of all, being a person of one of the First Nations of this United States of America, being half Hopi and half Oglala Lakota, and I'm very traditional, and yes, the comment about history being written by the victor is true. You don't see Native American history being educated in the educational systems. You don't see it in APS or the K-12, and you rarely, even now there are courses and programs here at the university, but you don't see everybody taking those courses. There's people who come here all the time and they think we still live in teepees. So I'm like, not that teepees happen in New Mexico, but I'm in support of this resolution, not because of exactly, there are things that Gene pointed out that I was trying to find some of the language he was speaking of, but personally, from my point of view, I didn't see anything like that, but that's not here or there. Okay. Gene saw it, then that's fine. That would be a bigger conversation. But in the general sense of the resolution, I think it is something that we need to support because for the things that Stephen mentioned, people being driven off campus and people needing to, we need to have all voices heard. I was always taught to respect somebody else's conversation and their what they are saying, even though we might not agree. So even though many people may not agree with some people coming to campus and viewing their opinions, you don't have to go if you don't agree. It's like you can turn off the TV if you don't agree. But don't stifle the conversation. Don't stifle what academics are trying to bring forth to the education of students. There are a lot of things that are up and coming that we're trying to do as far as on the health sciences side and health equity. So both everyone here has a very valid point about what they're talking about and where they're coming from. But I don't think it's should affect voting yes for this resolution, because it is a positive. It's not a total negative. And so that's why I do support this, especially as a person who is one of the first people, comes from the people of this land and who have been repressed and who have not had a voice ever, who got their vote in the United States after women's vote and other people's vote, and who subjugated to certain parts of land that were thought to be unlivable. And I just, if there's anything that can help just a little bit, I'm going to support it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Are there any other comments you would like to make? Would you guys like to call the question?
Mr. Speaker, if no one wishes to speak, then calling the question is not necessary.
Okay. Since I don't see anyone speaking, do you want to go ahead and set up the vote, Amy?
Yes, I can. I'm going to launch a Zoom poll for this vote. I want to remind those of you who are not current counselors at UNM main campus right now, please do not vote on this. Your vote does not count here. This poll is only for current counselors, okay? Adam?
I don't think you meant to say main campus. You said voting was restricted to those on main campus. I don't think that's what you meant.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It does include South Campus, out the Albuquerque campus is what I meant. Thank you, Adam, for that clarification. Sorry, everyone. Albuquerque campus counselors, this is for you. Has everyone had a chance to vote? Who wishes to vote?
Where is the vote? I can't see anything.
It should have opened up a poll quiz window on your Zoom screen, Brian.
It did not. But then I'm on the computer that I was logging in today. I had to actually load Zoom, so I don't know. All right, let me see what I can find.
Okay.
I found it. Thank you.
Oh, cool. Great. Thank you, Brian.
It opened on a separate screen that was attached to my computer instead of where in the Zoom screen it was. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Joe and Amy, you know, hosts can't participate in polls. So
yeah, I just saw that. I can't participate.
Yeah. Okay. Wanted to make sure you saw my message.
Yeah.
Amy, I've just withdrawn with, I've hit the withdraw your host.
Thank you.
Amy, see if that.
That did it. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, if I don't hear anyone else, I'm going to close the poll. I'll share the results. Can you see those results, Speaker Lane?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great.
Hi, everyone. Looks like the motion passes with 81% of the vote. Thank you for all participating in the vote. So with that, we went along. I'm going to close out that. Is there any new business that we need to touch upon at this time? Adam Hathaway, are we ready for a 10-minute tidbit or?
Mr. Speaker, sure, that would be great.
Thank you.
Right off the bat, I want to congratulate the staff council for doing something that leaders of our country and our states are unable to do. You took one of the most important topics that we have, regardless of what side that you are on, and not one of you became disrespectful. And I challenge anybody to point to me to an instance at the federal or state level where this topic has remained civil from all of the participants. So I want to congratulate you on the most important thing about Robert's Rules of Order, about deliberative assembly, about coming together, is it is absolutely okay to disagree as long as we are not disagreeable. And I've got to say, I'm very, very proud to be your parliamentarian. I'm very proud to see that you guys disagreed without being disagreeable. So thank you very much for that. Second, I want to put in a plug. I'm sure all of you are aware of the upcoming holiday and have made important preparations in your home and in your community. I know I don't have to tell you that April is National Parliamentary Law Month. And I'm sure each of you have several activities planned with your friends, family, and community.
one of the ways the New Mexico State Association of Parliamentarians can help you out is, as most of you know, every National Parliamentary Law Month in April, we have our Smart Meetings Conference. This year, it's on April 1st. No fooling. It is on April 1st. And the staff council traditionally has had a pretty large contingent going and learning about parliament procedure. And I have seen over the last 2 decades that I've been your parliamentarian, an immense amount of growth and maturity from the staff council as it learns to use the rules democratically more and more. So Amy Hawkins has the information. I believe a few weeks ago it was sent to Communication and Marketing Committee, which is traditionally sponsored, I guess, up to 10 counselors to go. You can go to nmsap.org to check out some of the classes if you wish. There's 2 classes an hour offered for up to 3 hours. And if you have any questions, you can ask me. And hopefully we'll hear back from the committee, or if the committee chooses not to take action, the staff council as a whole has sent some folks in the past. There are scholarships for youth available, so please feel free to spread the word. Also, talking about parliament procedure, so 2 really important parts of disagreeing without being disagreeable is when we debate, we always debate the issue and not the person. So if Counselor X said something I disagree with, I wouldn't say, well, I disagree with Counselor X. I would say, I disagree with the statement that peanut butter is better without jelly. I don't have to mention anybody's name. I just, because we don't want to debate the person, we want to debate the issue. And of course, part of peaceful and respectful debate is you only speak when recognized by the chair. So please refrain from debating in the chat box, because that's essentially cutting in line. It's essentially talking without being recognized by the chair. So please keep an eye on that. And then I suppose in preparation for this meeting, I was asked by 2 different counselors, how do I extend debate? And I think the question, well, one person was asking, how do I extend debate? And another counselor was mentioning, some people are concerned that 10 minutes is a little too long. So let me explain to you what's going on there. So according to Robert's Rules of Order, if you do not have any time limits for debate specified in your special rules of order, then the default is 10 minutes twice per person per motion. So you could see that if one person was recognized twice, one person could speak for up to 20 minutes, which is a lot. And that's also why we have the rule that anybody who wishes to speak a first time takes precedence over the person who wishes to speak a second time. That way there's more equity and inclusion as to who gets to be heard during debate. So because the staff council doesn't have anything in its special rules of order about time limits, you get up to 10 minutes. If you like, you can add a restriction. You can shorten it in your special rules of order, realizing that even if it is in your special rules of order, the motion to extend or limit debate is still applicable. Even if it is in your rules, you can still, at the meeting, have a motion to limit or extend limit of debate. So the great thing about Robert's Rules of Order is the flexibility that it provides the membership. If the membership wants debate limited to 20 minutes overall, or wants debate limited 3 minutes once or twice per person, that can change every meeting, and that could change for every motion, subject to the pleasure of the body. So when you adopt special rules of order, you can surgically enhance and change anything that's in Robert's Rules of Order. So you have a lot more power than you may think you do. So you may want to consider putting time limits in your special rules of order, realizing you can change them at any time during a meeting. And regardless, you can still move to extend or limit debate at almost any time during the meeting. So this little tidbit, the one takeaway, I suppose, is you have a lot more power than you think you might, but maybe you do, and you can surgically enhance not only what comes before you, but how it comes before you. Remember that just about every main motion, well, every main motion that comes before you is amendable. If you want to amend a resolution, if you want to, if you want to amend the amount of money in a project request, you can always do that. You never have to take it or leave it. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you for your time. And again, I'm very proud of you today.
Thank you, Adam. Are there any counselors who would like to make an introduction at this time? Not seeing anybody wanting to do an introduction, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everyone, for participating and so much for all that you guys do.
Bye. Good job, everyone. It's a great meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.